All right, so next we're going to get Dr. David Levin to come up and talk to us about what's happening out on the prairies. Dave's another one of these senior researchers in the area of biofuels and bioproducts, and he's got a kind of a novel perspective, I think an interesting and integrated perspective in trying to pull these things together. David, go ahead.
Thank you, Don, and it's a great pleasure for me to be here today, and I want to thank Jack Sadler for making a great introduction to the biorefining concept and an integrated biorefinery, so I don't have to do that. So I'm just going to go directly into who we are. So the Prairie Platform is located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, but we have connections to network investigators pretty well across the country. So I mean, the whole point of BiofuelNet is integration across themes. As Don explained earlier today, we have the feedstock development theme, the conversion theme, which could be biological, biochemical, or thermochemical. Then the utilization, do we take those molecules and test them to see what their combustion properties are as fuels, and then ultimately the social, economic, environmental, and sustainability issues around them. So we're fairly well integrated, and I'm going to basically just, our platform is probably the largest platform. We have 16 network investigators, and eight are in the area of feedstock development, four crop-based, four algae-based, or algae biomass-based. We have four conversion projects, four utilization projects, and four seeds projects. So the remission statement is basically, that should be not deedstock, but feedstock, algae-based feedstock development, and biological conversion by non-traditional microbial platforms, and I'll explain that as we kind of move forward. So basically, just a list, and I thought Jack's idea of getting the network investigators to stand up when I would talk about their projects, that would be great if you could do that. So basically, we have the four sort of plant-based projects. I mean, the prairie region has a lot of biomass. We're very biomass rich, a lot of agricultural residues. And so there's a lot of emphasis on that. So we have Mark Lesrud looking at harvest and post-harvest densification. So Mark, could you stand up and show yourself? Oh, there you go. Over in here in the front. And basically, we've been working on the network, getting it going over the past year, but the money was only in place really in sort of February, March. And so we just sort of have a checklist as we move forward in terms of whether people have recruited their students, the HQP, and whether they have industrial partners. Most people do have industrial partners. Some are still in discussion. Some are still looking. So if there are industrial partners or industrial people in the audience who are looking for partners, then we would love to talk to you about certain projects. Okay. Jaswinder Singh is looking at the cell wall components and the genetic basis of variability in wheat residues to enhance their use of cellulose as fuel, cellulosic fuel. So Jaswinder, are you here? Yes, in the back. There you go. Bilay Alaya at the University of Manitoba, he's not here today, but he's also looking at genetic analysis of bioenergy crops, primarily, again, looking at wheat varieties and their lignin content, as well as cattails, because in Manitoba we have a lot of water. If you actually look at a map of Manitoba, there's more blue on the map than green or brown. So that we have a lot of wetlands, and the potential for biomass production using cattails is enormous, and there's a lot of a lot of work in that area going on in Manitoba. Steve Rothstein is looking at enhanced nitrogen use efficiency for crops, bioenergy crops. So, Steve, are you here? Yep, in the back there. And then we have a number of algae biomass-related projects because, I mean, there's a global effort on development of algae as a potential feedstock for not only for lipid production for fuels, but also for higher-value products. I mean, the algae are tremendously diverse metabolically and produce lots of interesting molecules. But there's some major challenges that have to be addressed in terms of the rate of growth, the amount of biomass can be produced, and optimizing, say, lipid synthesis for algae conversion to fuels. So Andrea Kirkwood is looking at assessment of wastewater algae for feedstock development. So Andrea, please stand up. Simon Bonabé at University of Quebec at Trois-Rivières is looking at heterotrophic and mixotrophic algae growth for production systems with sugar hydrolysates, basically from taking lignocellulosic materials, deriving the sugars and using those to as a feedstock to grow the algae to biomass. So Simon, in the corner here. And then one of the other challenges with algae is once you've grown them and you've got cells full of oil, we have to have low-cost, efficient ways of extracting the oil so that you can do something with it. And so Lars Rehman at University of Western Ontario is looking at developing methods for efficient, low-cost extraction of oils from microalgae or oleaginous yeast and other polymers from microorganisms. And I know Lars is not here, but his student, Valerie, is here. So if you have questions, you can ask Valerie. And I should also add that most of the HQP have brought posters, and there's a poster session later today. And so many of the details, which I'm not talking about here, will be available to view on those posters. And finally, Priti Krishna at University of Western Ontario is looking at effect of phytohormones in algae and genetic engineering of algae to enhance growth in lipid synthesis. So Priti, please stand up. Okay, so those are the eight feedstock projects. We also have four conversion projects, and as I say, the PERI platform is sort of microbial conversion, but using non-traditional industrial microorganisms. I mean, traditionally, E. coli or Saccharomyces are the sort of workhorses of industrial microbiology, and as we saw on the West platform, there's a very big focus on genetic engineering of yeast to convert sugars from lignocellulosic material to fuels and higher value products. So we're looking at some different things. We have a bacterium that produces natural polyesters called polyhydroxyl alkonates, and these are have variable, sort of what are they called, medium chain lengths. So they have 6, 8, 10, 12 carbon chain lengths, and we can control to a certain extent the monomer composition, so we can make polymers that are predominantly C8 or predominantly C10 or mixtures of 8, 10, 12. And they can also easily depolymerized and converted into fatty acid methyl esters, which would maybe make them potentially good fuel additives. And because they have longer chains than ethanol or even butanol, they would have much higher energy density. So that's the kind of the concept behind that. So my project is basically looking at the microbial genomics of these and trying to enhance or optimize the production of the biomass and the products. John Sorensen in Department of Chemistry at the University of Manitoba would take these and convert them into methyl esters, methyl ethers, and then, and John is here, John's in the back there. And then we would, and Nazem Chichik, who is not here, my colleague in biosystems engineering, he's a true engineer. I'm a genetic engineer, but I'm in the engineering department. He's looking at the optimization of the bioreactor scale up so we can produce lots of these materials. Richard Sparling is also working on a different approach of using co-cultures of microorganisms for enhanced conversion of lignocellulosic materials to fuel. So Richard, you're right there. Okay. So once we have these sort of 3-hydroxy fatty acid methyl esters, though, we would give them to the utilization team. And so we have John Nguyen from, I think, University of Windsor. Is that correct, John? I hope so. And he's in the corner. And looking at the emission performance and catalytic combustion of fuels blended with these 3-hydroxy methyl esters. Majid Baruch from Manitoba, who's not here, looking at the burn properties of these novel fuels. Bob Koch from the University of Alberta. And is Bob here? Yep, Bob's there. Looking at use of these fuels in high-efficiency compression ignition engines. Patrice Sears looking at bioalcohols and in direct injection spark ignition engines. So is Patrice here? No, I don't see Patrice. Okay. Anyway, so we have a combustion team that are going to be evaluating the use or the effectiveness of these molecules as novel fuels or fuel additives. And then we have the seeds theme. We have four projects. Warren Maybe, looking at assessing the priority feedstock for Canadian biorefining pathways. Warren leads the seeds theme. We have Hank Venema from the International Institute for Sustainable Development that's looking at ecosystems, goods and services analysis for biomass-based refineries. So basically, if you're going to build a biomass-based refinery in a particular region, what's the optimal location in terms of transportation distance from the feedstocks, use of water, the carbon footprint, and all those kinds of economic factors that have to be considered. Hank's not here, but Matt McCandless, a grad student that I share, is here. He's very well-versed in this kind of activity. Fred Pries is looking at knowledge translation, positioning of biofuel R&D for enhanced use in policy and regulation, practice, and commercialization. So is Fred here? Yep, there's Fred there. And Paul, 2 minutes, no, I'm almost done. And Paul Thomason, looking at economic environmental impact of bioenergy production in Canada. And is Paul here? No, I guess no Paul. Okay, so I've got less than 2 minutes and therefore I am done. So that's what's happening in the Prairie Platform. Thank you very much.